Is there anybody in the house that needs him this morning? Is there anybody in the house that needs him this morning? Is there anybody in the house that needs him this morning? But I came by to tell you this morning that we serve the best doctor in the world. Some of you mothers today, your hearts are breaking because of a separate relationship or an unpleasant relationship with your child. But I came by this morning to tell you that Jesus can fix it. There's somebody here this morning that is struggling and you can't see your way, but I came by to encourage you that if you would just hold on to God's unchanging hands. Praise the name of the living God. I need thee. I need you, I need thee. This morning, I'd like to bring you greetings and to all of the mothers that are here. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to wish you a very happy, blessed, and encouraged Mother's Day. I hope that you would scan back over the years and cherish the marvelous memories. Our children grow up so fast. Time seems to fly by so quickly. So make every effort that you can to enjoy them. Keep them close to your heart. Love them. Tell them you love them daily. And you don't necessarily have to have been brought up in that kind of environment to tell your kids you love them, but as a parent, I think you ought to do that. There are some of you here today that you probably haven't spoken to your parents because you've had some kind of a falling out. I want you to know that you are obligated under God to honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given to you. And if you're going to be a good parent, you've got to be a good child first. You're not going to hear me on that one. If you're going to be a good parent, you've got to learn how to be a good child first. If I want to be a good father, I've got to learn how to be a good son first. Regardless of what my relationship with my father or parents are or were like, if I want my children to have a good relationship with me, then I've got to set the example. Can you agree to that? And I know some of you had some hard situations and there's some difficult things, and today is not a good day for a lot of people, but I want to encourage you to do the right thing and live the Christ-like way. Amen? If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? We're going to look at the 15th chapter and the 21st to the 28th verse. Matthew chapter 15, the 21st to the 28th verse will be our text for this morning's message. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
You're going to have to bear with me. This is allergy season, so I'm on Claritin, Allegra, Reactin, you name it. I'm trying to stay decongested, but it's still a challenge. The devil is a lie, and I will have victory. While you're looking for it, I'm so blessed this morning to have Mr. Arthur and Sister Mabel Clark with us today. You know, in our community, I think we ought to take time out to recognize those who have labored and those who have served and are still serving as pillars of light and encouragement in our community. Brother Arthur and Sister Mabel, would you just stand and just let us just recognize you this morning? A very good friend of mine supported me many, many years. You will find him in many many churches supporting and encouraging. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's a pleasure to have you worship with us this morning. God bless you. Amen. All the way from Calgary, Sister Joan. Wave your hands, Sister Joan. Thank you for being with us today. God is doing a great work in her life as well, healing her body. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. And all of our friends and visitors and guests that are with us today. Lord bless you. In our text, let us read together in concert. It's on the screen for your perusal. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and the her daughter has been healed from that very hour. Let me see your Bibles this morning. Let us affirm the Word of God. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it. In Jesus' name, and all of God's children say, amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball, and say, "Neighbor, amen. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to help me." Look at your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I really don't know about you, but I really need the Lord to help me." Is there anybody in the house today that needs the Lord to help them? Yes. I need the Lord to help me this morning. And so while, Sister Etty, the context is in light of Mother's Day, there are some biblical truths and nuggets that we can find in the text that is applicable to all of human life, regardless of which form we find it in this morning. So I'm asking you to just not tune me out simply because it's centered around Mother's Day, but look at the application and the truths that are there that can be of benefit to all of us, regardless of whatever we're going through this morning. I preached on this subject several years ago, and I went back at it again, and I'm always a big fan of trying to preach a new, fresh word every time, but sometimes Christian growth is like this. You may preach on a message several years ago, but when you go back to the text, if you have grown in the Lord, you will see something different the second time or the third time through than when you went through it the first time. If you go through it the second time, the third time, and you haven't seen anything different, it's a good indication that you have not grown. Because if you have grown, the text will reveal certain things to you. And so I'm here to confess to you that there was some growth. Not as much as I would have loved to have seen, but there's some growth. And so this morning I want to be able to take you through the text. We're going to dissect it. We're going to have some fun with it. And hopefully we can have some encouragement from the text, from God's word. A teacher had just given her second grade class a lesson on magnets. Now came the question session. She asked the class, "My name starts with M and I pick up things. What am I?" And a little boy shot his hand up right away and says, "My name is Mother." She went on in another class area, Sunday school superintendent. They were going through a Christmas, some kind of playing. And this little Johnny couldn't remember his lines. And so His mother, being the kind of person that she is, just begin to mouth the words to him. And so no matter how much he tried to recall from memory, he couldn't get it. Finally, he got it. And with a big yell, he shouted, "My mother is the light of the world." The pressure on mothers today are great, and they're getting greater and greater every day. It is one of the toughest jobs in the world. Just think of what is expected of her in our success-driven society. She's required to have a successful career, keep the house spotless. Now, from ladies, this is where you ought to help me out a little bit. Raise perfect children, be a great cook, look like a model, be a charming hostess and a conversationalist. A recent study decided that they were going to estimate the value of a mother, and so they came up with the following, and they said that she had to be a chauffeur, she's a gardener, family counselor, maintenance worker, the cleaning lady, the housekeeper, the errand runner, the bookkeeper, the interior decorator, the caterer, the dietitian, and the secretary. And so they decided to take all of these items and try to come up with a job description and a pay scale for mothers. And so somebody came close to the amount of $78,000 a year. But when it's all said and done, I don't believe that any amount of money in the world can really compensate a mother for the work that she does. And so this morning, we pause, mothers, to honor you. And I wish we all had $78,000 and more to give you for the work that you have done, that you are doing, and that you are continuing to do. And so we encourage you to keep moving forward, doing the best that you can. The mother in our text, Sister Joanne, has a daughter who is demon-possessed. I don't know how she recognized that her daughter was demon-possessed or demonized, but the text tells us that this woman had a daughter who was demon-possessed. And in verses 28 of our scripture, Jesus said to this Gentile woman, "You have great faith." She was a Canaanite woman, and we will talk about that a little bit later on in the message, who came from the country north of Palestine, a country that was hostile to the Jews, and she was presumably married. We don't know. There is no evidence of a husband in the text. But we know that she has a daughter, and she's worshiping Jesus, interceding, standing in the gap for her daughter, who is in a difficult place. And so all we know is that this single encounter with Jesus, he told her that you have great faith. Only four words, but they're enough to bless her and to bless us and every mother that's sitting within the voice, under my voice this morning. And these four words tell us everything we need to know about this woman, and we can trust them because these words are from Jesus himself. Touch your neighbor and say, "Don't go to sleep on the past." Now, he's coming now. Barry, give him a little something to just keep him know that we're coming. Just stay with me. Fix this all good. The Bible tells us that Jesus continually searched for individuals with faith. Not one recording in Scripture do we have Jesus saying to Peter, James, and John, "You have great faith." Matter of fact, a lot of times his own disciples did not understand the purpose why he came. And so when Jesus ran into this woman who demonstrated such immeasurable, such great amount of faith, he said to her, "Your faith, you have great faith, and that faith has made your daughter well." Now, I want to say to you this morning that how many of you remember the old way in which we developed film? Remember you had to put in your 24 exposure or whatever it was, and then you would take it to Costco or Superstore or someplace, and they would you know, develop it for you, and when you get it back, half of it had your fingers in front of the film, you didn't get a good picture. Do you remember the process of developing the film on the reels? That's maybe only 5 years ago, you know. You couldn't see the picture before you decided whether you wanted to accept it or not. Well, here's the thing, Dana, that I want you to know this morning. Faith, like film, is developed in a dark room. Faith, like film, is developed in a dark room. A lot of us don't like the dark room, but we like the bright quality of the picture. But when you are in the dark room, you're being processed. And if you live long enough, Annika, all of us will spend enough time in the dark room being processed. Don't ignore the process, because the result of the process produces beautiful looking pictures, which we all admire. But not too many of us stop to think about the process and the development of the film in the dark room. Faith is like the development of film in the dark room. The mother in our text is going through some difficulties. And I don't know how many mothers here this morning are facing challenges with their children. That we have this morning. She has a daughter. We don't see no daddy around, but she has a daughter. Fellas, this is a plug for you that if you've got a child, whether you like her mother or not, you are responsible to that child, to see that child through thick and thin. You don't have the excuse of saying that, well, her mother and I don't get along, so you have a responsibility to that child. It's quiet here. I'm going to repeat that again. Men and fathers, if you have a child, you are responsible to look after that child.
Amen.
You don't have the excuse of saying, I don't get along with her money. You help brought her in. You got to help raise her. And you also have the responsibility to help take her out if he or she doesn't behave right too.
Right.
It's not all on the responsibilities of mom. And so the woman in our text, she's got a daughter. And I would have thought that you would have seen daddy and mommy going to Jesus to bring healing and deliverance for this young lady. But right now, ladies, all we can see is mama and is the daughter is not even mentioned to be with her, but mama is by herself. And she is trying to find some help for her child. And I want you to know, ladies, that this is the desires of your heart, because I don't know any mother in here that does not want to have their children well. And so this woman goes to Jesus, and we're going to dig into the text, and she says, Lord, help me. There's sometimes in life when you can't go to nobody else. And all you can do is go to Jesus and say, Lord, help me. I understand that I'm speaking to a group of people that doesn't understand what I'm talking about, because in our culture, we have the three F's that we go to. We go to friends, we go to family, and we go to Facebook. But in her day and age, she didn't have Facebook. She went to Jesus, and I believe that so many of our problems, Barry, could be solved if somebody would just make up in their mind that before I get the friends, family, and Facebook, I'm going to go to Master Jesus and see what he has to say. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? There's a lot of church folk who only come to church after they have tried everything else, and everything else has failed. And then they say, well, let's go and see if the pastor can pray for us. But I wish that God's children would make up in their mind and say, the first sign of trouble, I'm going on my knees talking to my God, because I know that he's got all power in his hand. Do I have anybody in the house this morning? And so we find in our text this morning that this mother didn't go to family, didn't go to friends, didn't go to Facebook. But she went to Jesus. She was hurting. Lord, help me. She wanted help because she was hurting. What was she hurting from? Well, let's dig into the text and see what's there. She was hurting because she had to cross some barriers. The text tells us that, number one, she was a woman. And if you know anything about our ancient Near Eastern world, women did not approach men the way this woman approached Jesus. And so there were some barriers there. She wasn't on the same footing as the men. And so she was stigmatized. She was segregated upon because she was just a woman. And so in spite of that, ladies, she did not allow what society saw in her or felt about her to stop her from going to Jesus. I want to say it to you this morning, no matter what you look like, no matter what you smell like, no matter what you have or what you don't have, don't let nobody stop you from going to the source who can be a blessing and a healing and bring a miracle to you. We don't normally have that today, but I tell you, there's some things that we still have in our text today. So she was a woman. And they showed no compassion on her or sensitivity for her needs. And so she had to cross some barriers. You know, it's a terrible thing to be around people that have the possibility to help you, but they will show you no compassion or no sensitivity. But I came by today to tell you that if we are part of God's forever family, we ought to have some common sense to show some sensitivity, to show some compassion upon those who are less fortunate than we are today. And we can point fingers at the disciples, and we will talk about them in a minute. But you know, some of the disciples are still in the church today, because there's still some people who would say, send her away, she's bothering us. This woman had to cross some barriers because she was a woman. She had to cross some barriers because she was a Gentile. And if you know anything about the Gentile and the Jews, and if you read the following few passages, Brother Alaric, you will know that the religious leaders are trying to jack Jesus up about the traditions that were acceptable, and his disciples eating with unwashed hands, and Jesus takes in doesn't make him unclean, but what comes out of a man defiles him, and that's what makes him unclean. And so she was a Gentile and did not fit into the religious system of that day, and she was hated by a Jewish community because she was of Gentile background, and that they were considered to be like dogs. And even Jesus went on to tell this woman that his coming was not for the Gentiles, but for the Jews. And I don't know about her, but as I was reading the text, Gina, the Guyanese in me rose up because I thought to myself, if I went to Jesus and then I asked for help, and he said, well, I didn't come for you, but I came for this group, I would have said, see you later. I'm going to a different Pentecostal church. I don't know somebody. I'm out of here. But not this woman. She didn't leave. She stayed around. Even though she was not a part of the community that she was involved with trying to get help for her daughter. She was penalized for being a Gentile, which was no fault of her own. She had to cross some barriers. Now, we can talk about this woman being a Gentile, but let's make the rubber hit the road. She was called a dog. What happens when people call you names outside of your name? Now, what? I'm talking to primarily, well, I'm not primarily that, but what happens when somebody called you the N-word on the job? And now listen, Joanne, now, you know, see, I know some young Negroes in here. I've been among y'all long enough. It used to be that if somebody called you a Negro or the N-word, 99% of the time it would be a white person. But even in today's day and age, we got our own black people calling us Negroes. We got other brown people calling us that name. So don't think it's a racist thing. What happens when other people call you names that are outside your name? What do you do with it? Now, I know some of y'all in here, those would be some fighting words. But now this woman, and she's not even a believer. Not the woman in our text, because she's not even a believer. She's a Gentile nation. What would be the reaction of some of the Christians that are sitting in the sanctuary this morning? It's quiet here. What would be the reaction of some of the Christians that are sitting in here today? She not only was a woman, and I'm coming now, she was Gentile, and she was from Canaanite background. Now, you know that thousands of years previous, her ancestors were enemies with the children of Israel. Thousands of years later, she is still paying the price for segregation, racism, and hate. She was not the one that was in opposition to Israel, but because of her background, she is still paying the price today. What happens when people penalize you for stuff that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-daddy done? But you're still paying the price today. We raise our voices at that. Now charge me for my crimes, but don't let me pay for somebody else's crime. She was hurting. She had to cross some barriers. She was a woman, Gentile, Canaanite. She had to cross some barriers. Here was a mother who in her need was prepared to cross any obstacle to turn to Jesus for help for her daughter. Let's talk about the motive. She's not doing this because she's got nothing else better to do with her time. She's doing this because she's got a daughter that is in a situation that there seems to be no other doctor around who can help the situation. Good on her to recognize that she needs help. And good on you, mothers, when you recognize that you're in a situation that nobody can help you with, and it's time that you turn to Dr. Jesus. Now, you don't know this, but when you read the text, the disciple says that this woman keeps bothering us. And when I read the text a second time, this is how you can tell you were grown. She began to follow Jesus. And I don't believe she was just yelling and asking for help, but the text says she began to cry out, "Lord, help me." She's addressing Jesus as Lord, even though he's from a different religious background. And she said, Lord, she began to worship the Lord as she's following after him, and she's worshiping him. Lord, help me. Lord, help my daughter. She's kneeling down before him. And Jesus is saying, woman, you better stop praising me, because if you don't stop praising me, I'm going to have to bless you. I want to tell somebody, your deliverance is in your praise. And if you can get on your knees and begin to praise God, the Bible says, owe no man nothing. And so she does not stop praising Jesus. He is going to have to bless her. And so she began to continue to follow after them, to the point that it was so annoying. You know, there's some people around you who can't stand it when you start praising God. But don't let the disciples, or the so-called disciples, stop you from praising God. Every once in a while, when you got a situation that you can't make your way through, you got some river that is uncrossable, some mountain that is unclimbable, you got to go to Jesus and just holler your way through your problems. Don't let nobody muzzle your mule. If you got to call on Jesus, then call on Jesus. It doesn't matter who's around. I need somebody to bring about deliverance. I need somebody to bring about healing. I need somebody to bring about a transformation. Her daughter was in a bad place, and no devil in hell was going to stop her from getting her victory. And I want you to know today, don't nobody stop you from getting your victory. Call on your God. Call him in the morning. Call him at noonday. Call him in the evening. Whatever you have to do, call on your God. And watch him make a way out of no way. Because he specializes in things that seem to be impossible. But all things are possible for those who will believe. Hallelujah, somebody. And she had to overcome some stereotypes. She had overcome the culture and the pride. Desperation. Sometimes our change does not truly come until we get to a place of desperation. This is why I told you earlier, faith like film is developed in a dark room. You gotta get desperate enough to want to come out of the dark place. Because as long as you have a little bit of light in the dark place, you can see your way around. You can feel your way around. But when it's so dark, and there's nobody beside you, and there's no way out, you gotta get desperate and begin to call on God like nobody else ever wants to call on. You gotta go through your midnight hour. Yes, some storms are going to rise. Some winds are going to blow. They're going to knock you from side to side. There's going to be some children that are on drugs, somebody. There's going to be some children that's involved in some lifestyles that you don't agree with. There's going to be some kids that have some bad attitude. But your way of bringing change to the situation is not by getting into a fight, but falling on your knees and say, Lord, I need your help. I've got a situation that's beyond my control. My daughter is demon possessed, but I know you to have authority over the devils. I came by this morning to tell somebody he's got power in his hands, and no devil in hell will stop his power from manifesting. Even the demons have to submit to his authority. So call on Jesus and watch him bring about your victory. Number two, in our text, we see that this woman not only was she hurting, but we see that she was humble. She was humble. Mary, she was humble. This mother refused to be put off by the disciples. Bear with me with these allergies. She was not going to take criticism or silence as an answer. There were at least three intimidating factors that could have kept her from pursuing Jesus. The silence of Jesus could have turned her off. And do you know something that the text tells us that when she was calling on Jesus, the text said he didn't say a word. And there's somebody here today that has been calling on Jesus. And it appears as though Jesus is silent. It seems as though that you've been asking for a breakthrough in the marriage and nothing is happening. It seems as though that you've been crying out for your child and nothing is happening. You've been standing in the gap for that husband and nothing is happening. You've been praying for the church to have a new spirit and a new mindset, and it seems as though nothing is happening. You want change to come, but change seems to be a far way off. But this mother was not put off by the silence, and some of us sometimes, when Jesus does not answer when we think he should, we become very discouraged and we begin to wonder if God really does exist. And so we begin to question our faith because we live in a hurry-up kind of society. It has to be right now or I need a refund. But Jesus does not work like that, because everything from Genesis to Revelation, Brother Morgan tells us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I want you to know, my friends, that if you have been calling on the Lord, continue to let your worship altar remain open, because delaying does not mean denial or dream. And so you ought to keep calling on God, because I serve a God that's got eyes to see and ears to hear and one who pities my groan. And I know sometimes you always wait until the midnight hour, but it is his time and not my time. But until then, I will keep my head up and I will refuse to accept the rejection. I will refuse to accept the criticism, even though they talk about me. I'm going to let it just roll off of my back like water off a dove's back. And I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I know my God will hear and answer my prayers. Now, not only was Jesus silent, but, excuse me, she encountered the rebuke of the disciples. You know, there's nothing worse than being around Christian people. And when you think you got help, you got rebuke. You know, I think I got enough patience in me that if Jesus doesn't answer, I can still keep following after Jesus. But if his people turn me off, which doesn't seem to take much. I'm talking about me now. I know you folks are all saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you've got all kinds of patience. But I'm talking about me. It seems that I can take silence from the Lord, but if his people don't do like I think they should when I think they should, and if they look at me the wrong way and say stuff about me that ain't true, my patience just seems to run low. I'm talking about me now. I need deliverance. And when God gets through with me, I'm going to be all that he wants me to be, Charlotte. But in the meantime, just pray for me, because I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. I know you folks are out there and you are okay with that. But I'm not there. My kindness come out of me sometimes. And these feelings make me want to do and say things. But I looked at the woman in our text, and she's rebuked by the disciples. The disciples try to tell her to shut her mouth and to shut her down. But her problem is so big that she can't shut her mouth. The desire is so strong that you can't shut her up. Because when you got love on the inside, working on the outside, there has to be a change. When you become passionate about something, nobody could get you to hold your mule. And so when we saw, look at the text, that the love for her daughter could not be quenched, because she wants her daughter to be well, and this is the love and the desire of a mother, and they want all of their children well. And so she refused to take the insults and the negativity from Jesus' disciples, and she said, now I'm going to push through this no matter what. And so the disciples decide to rebuke her, but they said, Jesus, she keeps bothering us. But she said, I don't care how much you push me away, I'm going to keep bothering you, because I got a need and I need Jesus to meet my need. Now, when we look at the behavior of Jesus, what he was saying in effect was, sorry, madam, but you don't belong to the right group of people. How many times have you heard that? You don't really belong to the right group of people. You know, you're not qualified. And what Jesus was saying to her, he was saying, you're not in covenant relationship. And I came for the lost sheep of Israel. And they're in covenant relationship. They're lost, but they're in covenant relationship. But I'm bringing something that if they accept it, would create a change in their circumstances, in their situation. And this woman said to herself, well, Jesus, I understand that you didn't come for me. But if you are coming for the lost sheep of Israel, and you've got something in you that can bring about change in them, then Jesus, don't give me what you brought for them, but just give me what they don't want. Give me the crumbs. And so she understood that if there is salvation in the gift, then there's going to be salvation in the crumbs. She understood that if there was deliverance for the lost sheep, then there's going to be salvation, the deliverance in the crumbs. So she understood that if the bread was made up of yeast, and if she had a piece of the bread, then if there's yeast in the bread, there's going to be yeast in the crumbs. If there's butter in the bread, then there's butter in the crumbs. If there is deliverance in the bread, there's deliverance in the crumbs. And so she recognized that she didn't want what they had, all of it, but just give me the leftovers, because she knows the leftover has the same essence and the same substance and the same ingredients as the bread. And so I came by to tell you, you don't have to go to somebody else's church. You just go to a church that nobody else want to go to. But if there's healing in that church, there's healing in the crumbs as well. You don't have to go to the Jewish church, because if there's deliverance in the bread, there's going to be deliverance in the crumbs. And so I want to say to you that just give me what's left over, because what's left over has the same substance in it, and if it's good for them, it'll be good enough for me. Somebody ought to shout, thank God for the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs any day. I'll take the crumbs. Oh, hallelujah, something better than nothing. Persistence is the hallmark of a godly mother. The third quality of this mother exhibit to us was her cause for praise Jesus. She said she was hopeful. She agreed with Jesus. She said, Jesus, I agree with you. I understand you didn't come for me. I understand that I'm not a part of this. I agree with you, Jesus. She relied on the grace of Jesus. When our Lord told her that he didn't seem right to take bread from the children's table and give it to the dogs, that was a term that was used to describe non-believers or the Gentile nations, she didn't burst into tears. Her little feelings didn't get hurt. She didn't take her Bible and walk away. She didn't go on Facebook or go on the internet and put up a tweet, no nonsense. She didn't try to get her upon the flesh. She pleaded her cause. She said, now, Jesus, I understand that you didn't come here for me, but you got to understand, Jesus, I got a daughter that's in a rough shape, Lord. And I know that you've got the power to do something about it. And when she began to give Jesus back his words and tell him, say, I know you got power. I know you've got authority. I know you didn't come for me, but you can do this. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Sometimes you've got to give back to God what he's already told you. He said in his word, I will owe no man nothing. So if you start giving him praise, he's going to have to bless you. So why don't you give him some praise so that he can bless you? She said, I admit that I don't belong to your clan. I don't even look like your people. I don't even talk like your people, but God has enough grace that you can bring a blessing towards me. And so she began to stand in the gap for her daughter. Can I talk to you this morning about intercession? She recognized that her daughter was over here and Jesus was over there, and there was no way the demon was going to get her daughter to come and grab the hands of Jesus. And so like a faithful mother, she says, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to hold on to my daughter's hand. And I'm going to hold on to Jesus' hands. And I'm going to be a conduit by which the power of God will flow from one side to the other and break the yoke and destroy the strongholds. I want to tell somebody, you don't have much options. And your only option today might be to stand in the gap. Because when people stood in the gap, God changed his mind. I remember Moses at the bottom of the mountain, when the children of Israel were worshiping the golden calf, and God got mad very. He said to Moses, your people are getting involved in something that's not good. But when Moses decided that he would stand in the gap and say, God, Now, if you destroy this people, what are the evil nations going to say about you? Moses began to stand in the gap of intercession, and God changed his mind. Not that Moses made God change his mind, but God loves intercession. When people began to stand and intercede, God would bring about change. And so this woman stood in the gap, and God brought about change. The Bible says in verses 28 that she was heard. Yeah, the text, she was heard. And Jesus said, your faith, you have strong faith, and your daughter is made well. This is what she wanted. Notice that Jesus doesn't have to be in the presence of the daughter to heal her body. Jesus doesn't have to be in the presence of her daughter to heal her. He just has authority to speak the word and to command the angels to move with his authority, and deliverance will come. And if she was here today, I heard she would say, I recognize, Jesus, that I have no claim in you. I recognize, excuse me, that you're not here for me. I recognize that I'm not your first priority. I recognize that I've come here before with great humility. I've come here with great modesty. I've come to you with a great prudence. I've come with great reverence. I've come before you, Lord, in great devotion and submission. I've come before you with great confidence. I've come before you with great consistency. I've come before you with great perseverance. I recognize that in your eyes I'm a dog. But, oh Lord, I want to be a dog that will just have all the crumbs. I don't need to have a T-bone steak, Lord. Just give me the crumbs. I can do well on the leftovers if you can just bless me. I recognize the fact that you have a specific mission, Lord Jesus. I recognize the fact that you have a specific vision. I don't want to take away from what you've come to do. But you said, Lord, that you've come to heal the brokenhearted and to deliver the captives and to restore sight to the blind. My daughter, Lord, is in a bad place. She's got these demons that are sitting up in her spirit, man. She's got some addiction issues. She's got some alcoholic issues. She's got some fetal alcohol syndrome issues. She has some depression issues, Lord. And I don't have the resources. And the doctors don't know what to do. But somebody said, call you because you are Dr. Jesus. And all power is in your hands. Oh Lord, that you can do it. Does anybody here knows that he can do it? He's done it before. He can do it again. Do you know that he'll do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? No wonder Jesus replied and said, woman, you have great faith. No wonder that moment her daughter was made well. I came by to tell you this morning, Lord, I need your help. The struggles are so hard to bear. The burdens are so heavy. The Lord keeps me going down. But oh Lord, if you would become my strength, if you would become my leaning post, if you would become my midnight rider, I need somebody to lean on. I can't carry this by myself. But oh Jesus, I need you. Oh Jesus, I need you. Won't you come, Lord? Won't you come, Lord? I got nobody to call. I got nobody to lean on. But all I've got is your word. And your word said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Oh Lord, I need some help this morning. I heard somebody say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That means no devil in hell can have authority over my children. No devil in hell can have authority over my finances. No devil in hell can have authority over my marriage. No devil in hell can have authority over my household. Because, oh God, you are my light. You are my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Praise God Almighty. I heard somebody says in Psalm 91 that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide shadows. I'm coming in the upper room. I don't want no part of this demonic business. Set my business free, Lord. I declare this morning that every devil that's connected to my name, I sever the tie. Every ungodly spirit connected to my finances, I break the yoke. Every demonic power that is coming against my prosperity, I dig it up by the root, Lord Jesus. I declare freedom. I declare deliverance. I declare victory. I'm coming into my season. Lord God, I was made well. And you are going to be made well if you hold on to God's unchanging hands and what Jesus make a way out of no way. He's all got all power and authority in his hands. Would you call him sometimes? Would you trust him a little bit sometimes? Would you fall on your face and say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this no more. My strength is weak. My health is failing. I need you to lift me up, Lord. I need you to walk with me. And I need you to talk with me, Lord Jesus. I need you to carry me like the footprints in the sand. I just need you, Lord. I want to be wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Working on the inside and coming on the outside. Lord, I need your help this morning. Does anybody need some help? He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Lord, I need your help. She was hurting. She was hurting. She was a hurting woman. She was a humble woman. Rejection didn't turn her off. She was hopeful in the sense that when they came against her, she said, no, I'm not here for me, Lord. I'm gonna stand up for my daughter. You can say what you want to say about me. And then she was honored. She was honored. This morning, I believe the Lord wants to honor somebody for their faithfulness in not throwing in the towel and not giving up, because it seemed as though the situation was beyond your control. I want to honor you this morning. This mother in our text models for us as Christians that sometimes we're going to be in pain. But regardless of the pain that we face, we must remain humble. We must remain hopeful. And if we can do that, God will honor us. God will honor us. Is there somebody here this morning that sort of in a situation like this mother in her text where she's in a dark room going through process, being developed, but it's a lonely time, it's dark time, it's not happy time, but everybody has to go through their own dark. There is a maybe those who are involved in the altar ministry, if you're here this morning, would you come and be prepared to give blessing to those who may choose to come this morning. Lord, I need your help. I need help. I need help, Lord Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me. Would you give the Lord an opportunity today to do something miraculous in your life? Maybe you're that mother that has been standing in the gap. We want to encourage you this morning to keep standing until the strongholds are broken and destroyed. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to continue to be a godly mother even though you will hurt. Continue to be a godly mother and remain humble. Remain hopeful. You got to stay hopeful to all the living. Hope. Stay hopeful and God will honor you. This is my word of encouragement for you today. The doors of the church are open. Maybe you've got a family member that's struggling. They will never come to the altar, but would you come and be that intercessory person that will stand and make the connection between God and that person? Would you be the one to stand in the gap for someone today?